Blog Talk Radio.
Iced tea, stone cold. Calling on everyone to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Hello, my name is Ice T. Can you spare a few seconds to learn about cold water washing with Tide?
Hi, my name is Steve. Did you know washing in cold can save you $100 a year on your energy bill?
Why wouldn't you turn to cold? It helps the environment.
What? Because Stone Cold said so. Plus, Tide cleans great in cold.
This was a cold call.
Hello, this is Vanilla.
Vanilla Ice.
Ice, ice, baby.
I'm busy.
Stop. Collaborate.
And listen.
All right, I'm listening.
We're on a mission to get everyone to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Tide cleans better in cold than the bargain brand in hot.
It saves you $100 a year on your energy bill.
If hot's a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Word to your mother.
Word to your mother.
You know his mother?
This was a cold call.
Mr. T here.
Mr. T.
Yeah, what y'all want?
Will you turn to cold washing with Tide?
What's your jibber-jabber?
Tide cleans better in cold than the bargain brand in hot.
So Mr. T can wash his Hanes teas in cold.
You can save up to $100 on your energy bill.
Mr. T will turn to cold, and so will this fool.
I turn to cold.
You know, technically, you're Mr. T.
Technically, Steve.
This was a cold call.
This is Annie.
Annie Murphy. We're calling to get you to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Unsubscribe.
Wait. This helps the environment.
And saves you money.
Oh, the environment. Yeah. With the trees and the shrubs. How much money?
$100 a year on your energy bill. It's like getting paid for doing nothing.
I will take that money for the environment.
This was a cold call.
Hello.
Hello, Mark Messier.
It's Messier.
Mark. Messier.
Mess-C-A.
This is a cold call.
Calling to get you to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Yeah, guys, I've been doing it for years.
Really?
Saves me $100 a year on my energy bill. Plus, Tide cleans great and cold.
Tell me more.
Washing in cold helps the environment.
Hey, how would you like a job at a call center, my man?
Absolutely not.
This was a cold call.
It's ski time, baby. baby. It's your boy, baby. From the queen of the sea. I'm the best baby.
Brother O, this is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air out now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ningozi Time Multimedia. Tonight we were scheduled to have a guest, but I don't know exactly what happened, so we're going to move on. we're going to talk about family secrets. Children learn about the world through their bodies. Whenever a child has been sexually abused, they learn that the world is not a safe place. They experience pain and betrayal and often emotionally lead their bodies to avoid these feelings, or they numb themselves as best they can. The children have that people cannot see. Sigmund Freud's greatest insight was that repression of feelings leads to repetition of those feelings or emotions. When our needs are unsolved and unmet in childhood, we try to get those needs fulfilled in adulthood. We unconsciously look for a person or situation that resembles the original situation, and we repeat it. Because the motivation is unconscious, we forget we have repeated it, and when we see a similar simulation, it presents itself, we do it again. I'm sure you've heard the cliche that opposites attract. However, in the abuse cycle, like attracts like. If you grow up in an abusive environment, sometimes it takes a third abusive relationship or a third divorce to realize that something is wrong. This is because denial hides our secrets from ourselves. This is a product of WBAN. This is BNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Now, a quote from Caroline Miss: the soul always knows what to do to heal itself. The challenge is to silence the mind. Many people in the U.S. keep a range of secrets from each other, but sometimes secrets can have a serious, dangerous outcome, especially to families. Some of the most significant secrets that a person can hold fall into categories such as illegal, criminal activity, infidelity, financial problems, or substance abuse problems. Take, for example, the secrets within the Catholic Church. Now, that was a secret that went all the way to the Vatican in Rome. While the individuals do have the right to privacy, it becomes an issue in families when a topic they are keep hitting negatively impacts the family members. FYI, the Catholic Church is not the only church that has secrets. Many churches have ministers that have molested children within the congregation, or have the ministers have affairs. It doesn't matter. Child abuse comes in several different forms: physical, emotional, sexual, psychological abuse. In 2019, there were 6,563 reported cases of child abuse in the U.S. Based on this information, we are all going to discuss the three types of family secrets, which are individual secrets, internal secrets, and shared secrets. It's true that every family has secrets. However, it's the content of the secret that counts. Let me know if this resonates with you. Individual secrets are secrets that are kept by one person from the rest of the family. An example would be a teenage relationship that results in a pregnancy, or an extramarital affair, maxing out credit cards, or going to foreclosure of a house. This type of secret leaves the secret holder feeling immense amount of anxiety about being found out. The family may sense that something is off, but not able to put their finger on it until the secret is exposed. Internal secrets involve at least two people who are keeping a secret from one or many family members. For example, a father may tell his daughter that he plans to divorce his mother, or you may find out your brother is really your father, or that you're adopted. Secrets are the most toxic. They are pieces of information known within the family but forbidden to outsiders. They are like a center around a taboo subject such as child sexual, physical, or emotional abuse within the family, an incarcerated family member, or the presence of suicide or substance abuse in the family. Individuals provide many reasons for maintaining family secrets, up to and including dealing with possible consequences such as jail time. As a result, family members feel a sense of shame, and the abused member will likely have a series of dysfunctional relationships until they are ready to heal. Brother O, do you have a track?
Yes, I do. I always have a track. But, of course, all the folks out there, I want to thank you for, you know, joining in tonight with WBNN. We love every single one of you guys. And, of course, I'm going to go back to, you know, Little Skulls Crossing, New Day, baby.
Hey, what's that you think? The world's gonna be a new day.
As we begin, I think we have been able to reach out to Dr. Finneke. I hope she's in our host queue. Dr. Finneke, are you there?
She's not there yet. I'll let you know when she comes on.
Okay, because she sent me a text stating she's been in the host queue since 9:35. We're going to just keep moving. Individuals provide many reasons for maintaining family secrets, up to and including dealing with possible consequences such as jail time. As a result, family members feel a sense of shame, and the abused member will likely have a series of dysfunctional relationships until they're ready to heal. If you're considering sharing a family secret with members of your family, be honest. Pick a time and place that's comfortable for you. Think about having a third party present, such as a counselor, and remember the point is not to ambush people to reveal secrets. The goal is your healing. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Keeping secrets destroys relationships. Keeping major secrets creates an atmosphere of mistrust in relationships. All right.
Now we do have finally, she's pressed 1. So finally she's in the line. If you're ready for her, let me know.
Yes, I am. I'm ready.
All right. All right, here we go. How are you, good doctor? Glad you finally made it with us.
Hi. I'm so sorry. I logged onto the link instead of coming on through the phone. I'm so sorry. So glad to be here. My apologies. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. As we begin, I'd like to tell our listeners a little bit about you, Dr. Finneke. Dr. Finneke is a doctor of behavioral health, licensed clinical social worker, master, Gracie practitioner, author, healer, consultant, coach, wife, mother, sister, and friend that strives to make a positive impact on the lives of others. She specializes in healing trauma by focusing on mind, body, and spiritual healing. Dr. Finneke has a passion for healing adolescent and adult females holistically while providing others with real-life coping tools that can be used to help heal themselves. She is the author of What the F is Your Problem, Becoming an Active Worker in Healing Your Trauma, which is available through Indiegogo by searching for Dr. Finneke or the title. Dr. Finneke wrote the book after embarking on her own healing journey and discovered what tools were effective for her along the journey. Her goal is to help heal as many people around the world as she can, with a special emphasis on Black women. Dr. Finneke, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and thank you both for your patience. I appreciate it.
It happens. You're welcome. Can you please tell us a little bit about trauma and why is it so important?
So I actually work with the women that I work with, one, because I have been called to do this work. So the work comes from me and my own history of overcoming complex trauma, which started in childhood for myself. And so when people say to me, well, what is trauma exactly? Just to, you know, break it down and keep it as simple as I can, trauma is anything that leaves an imprint on you and alters the way in which you're able to view yourself, view others, and view your experiences and your circumstances, but from a negative perspective. And so it's anything, like I said, that kind of alters you. It produces, you know, you'll hear people say, trauma responses. It's something that produces trauma responses. And those trauma responses, you know, again, they can be mental, they can be physical, they can be spiritual, they can be emotional, you know, and behavioral in the way that we respond.
Right. I too suffered a trauma when I was a child. I'm an adult of an alcoholic father. And that was very traumatic for me, so I understand. Thank you for that detailed definition. What is the relationship between trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder?
So trauma, so when we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder is, it derives from trauma. And so one of the things is that to experience a traumatic event versus a continuous, I guess, repetition of trauma, so that's something that impacts, you know, if a person is diagnosed with PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder versus a person saying, hey, I experienced a traumatic event. Now, let's be clear. The thing is that when we talk about PTSD, which is a DSM-5 or ICD-10, you know, diagnosis, we're getting into, I went to a psychologist or I went to a psychiatrist or I went to a licensed therapist and they diagnosed me, you know, with PTSD, it's because those symptoms have been present, you know, after that terrifying event, they've been present, you know, longer than the amount of time where a person would just say, hey, I had a car accident, and in me having the car accident, you know, it caused me to have some trauma behind it. So it can last. That PTSD, it can last months, it can last years, it can be something that, again, is like, it comes with nightmares, it comes with, you know, those horrific memories, it comes with, that person may avoid, you know, certain situations that remind them of what it is that they went through. It can come with anxiety, it can come with depression. When you have all of those different pieces that are present, right, you're now stepping out of just saying, hey, I experienced a traumatic event. Now you're stepping into, hey, there's something that may be wrong with me, you know, on a longer term basis, and I'm having these side effects or these symptoms that I can't manage. I need to now get help.
Okay. So there is a big difference there, I see. It sounds like post-traumatic stress has a lot more symptoms. It has, like you were saying, it has flashbacks and things like that. Whereas trauma is just something that you kind of can just go through, and you might feel like you can get over it on your own.
So I want to, you know, again, there's definitely a relationship, and so I definitely want people to understand that there's a relationship. So when a person goes through a traumatic event or some traumatic event, so it can be acute trauma, it can be chronic trauma, it can be complex traumas. But when a person goes through, you know, that traumatic event, right, or those events, that then can produce PTSD in that person. So I'll give you an example. I had a client that came in for an assessment, and he grew up in an environment where there was a lot of violence, and his mother was a drug dealer. And so some things that would happen in his childhood was that, you know, people would break down their door, they would come into their home, they would have weapons there, you know, there would be shooting at the house, and him and his siblings, they would hide under a table or a bed or, you know, anything that they could hide under. And so when he came into my office, which he was referred to by his spouse, you know, he was drinking excessively, and so alcoholism had become a thing. He was having nightmares. He had trouble sleeping. He had a lot of anxiety. There was definitely depression that was there. And when speaking to me, and I'm like, okay, you have PTSD. And he's like, well, no, I don't have PTSD. I haven't been to war or anything of that sort. And so then I'm like, hey, you know, someone's coming in your home. They have weapons. You're hiding under furniture. You're taking cover. You know, that technically is considered war. And so for him, that those incidences had manifested into a long-term, you know, condition. It had an effect on him long-term versus, you know, if you say, which was, you know, the trauma of the people coming to his home unexpectedly and doing, so that's still trauma. The way in which it impacts the person is what determines if it's post-traumatic stress disorder or not, based off of the
okay.
symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's why some people develop PTSD after trauma and others don't?
Correct. And so the thing is, and with even that, we have to keep in mind that trauma is individualized. And so if you go through, if you experience something and I experience the same thing that you experienced, it may not impact you the way that it impacted me. You know, it may have a long-term effect on you versus me, it may not. And so, you know, like I used an example of being, you know, hit by a car. Someone, you know, let's say they're walking down the street, walking and they're crossing the street and they get hit by a car. That person, you know, from moving forward, they may just have, you know, they may just have some pains and they may be sore, but it may not, you know, cause, like I said, those longer term effects. Whereas someone else, they may have nightmares, they may get anxiety every time they have to cross the street now. It becomes, you know, like a bigger deal. They may need assistance. That person, you know, may be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder versus the other person who just experienced a traumatic event.
Okay. Thank you for that response. Track next by International Internet Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
Well,
Welcome back, everyone. Looks like we have a caller in the queue. Caller one, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi. Peace and blessings, Mancho, and peace and blessings to your guest, Doctor.
Sister Bessie, how are you?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm enjoying the doctor's comments and your questions. Is it all right if I ask the doctor a question?
Certainly.
Now, I've suffered with trauma in my life. The pain doesn't seem like it goes away. It's a continuous pain in me. So I did go to therapy, and they placed me in a trauma experiment. And I had to stop it because every time I went to the trauma exercise, I'm sick for like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not, I don't know how to deal with trauma. And then when you have early trauma and then you have trauma of today added on to you, it seems to still stay there. So what's your opinion on a person has difficulty releasing trauma?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling in and, being vulnerable and just sharing what you have been through. So what I would say or my suggestion, and this is how I work with the women that I work with, just based off of my own history of healing from my own personal traumas. What I found was that after years, and let's say about 15 years or so of experiencing, childhood trauma and then other traumas that had occurred going into adulthood, when I did reach a point where I really understood what trauma was, I was, kind of going to therapy every now and then. I was, at the time, I was doing yoga, I think, every now and then. So I was doing certain things every now and then, but nothing, necessarily consistent. The thing that really helped me to and really, propel me to a point of feeling like, okay, I have a grasp on this, and I really feel like I am in a, I'm beyond the impact of the trauma, and I'll get back to that in a minute, was I started doing a regimen of everything simultaneously. And so, that involved I was making sure I was doing something for my physical health. I was doing something for, my mental health. For my physical health, I was boxing and in training. And so I was training 4 days a week for 2 hours a day. And I was, and then for my mental health, I had I was going to therapy. I was getting energy work done. And so I was getting, Reiki done. I was going to yoga. I was meditating. I was managing, my spiritual health piece as well. And my energy. And so I became very intentional with focusing on all of the parts of myself and treating myself from a holistic perspective and not just doing one thing. I found that for me that worked. And then I have also found that since I went through my own process, I now work with my clients but in the same manner, to where we have to put all of those pieces in there. And so we're working on all of those different things at the same time. And they have found wonderful results from the work that we've done. So I said I was going to come back to what I said earlier. And what I wanted to come back to was understanding that. So one of my concepts is helping the clients that, you know, I work with and just the people that I interact with, helping them to understand that you have to become an active worker in your healing. And so what that means is that you have to constantly be doing something to contribute to your healing. And so it's not something that you can do one time. You know, you have to consider, like, for me, by the age of 6, I had witnessed someone get murdered. I had witnessed domestic violence in my home, and I also lost my dad after he threatened to come back and kill my mother. And so, and then they found him on the stairs outside of his apartment with a gun in his pocket, but he had had a heart attack. And so all of this happened before the age of 6. So consider I become an adult and I carry all of that, right? All of those things from childhood to adulthood. And so it's years and years and years. And then plus, like you said, things that happened in adulthood, right? And so I can't expect to work on that for 1 year or 2 year or, you know, even 3 years and expect it all to just be okay. Because I've been carrying it for so long. And so even now, I have to make sure that I'm constantly doing, you know, that work. I'm constantly doing my affirmations. I'm constantly checking in with my emotions. I'm constantly, you know, focused on, for me, like every year on my birthday, I pick something that I want to focus on. And so that may be, you know, my anger. That may be my confidence. That may be my self-love, and that may be my boundaries or the way I treat myself, or you know what I'm saying? And so it's something that you have to constantly be attuned to, because again, it's been years of hurt and years of pain and years of trauma, and it doesn't just go away overnight. So you have to be an active worker and constantly be working on something on yourself. And then lastly, what I would say is allow yourself the grace and the compassion to understand that things that happened to you in childhood were not your fault, totally out of your control. However, as an adult, you do have the choice to say, hey, I want to work on this. And so when things come up, because trauma is also very layered, and so as you work on one thing, something else is going to be exposed. And so just like I said, allow yourself that space to go through your process.
Yes. Mm. Thank you. Thank
you.
That was very helpful. Yes, it was very helpful, yes. And
can
thank
you
so
show
much. My show is March the 4th, The Front Porch with Sister Bessie.
All right, looking forward to that.
All right, sister, thank you so much. And thank you, doctor.
No problem, you're
thank
so
you for
welcome.
Calling. We have caller 2 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, my name is Patricia. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for coming into the show tonight. What can we help you with?
Yes, I first-time caller, and the subject matter is something I am experiencing. Yes, hello, Dr. Young. And what you were saying to the lady just now of having, well, I call them rituals, but still practices, self-care, daily self-care, self-love, health and wellness, spirituality that I do. And I neglected myself for so many years until a few years ago, about 4 years ago. There's a health matter, and mine started with domestic violence. I was raised by a single mother, but she was angry for so much, and I wasn't a wanted child by the father and mother, but the mother raised me, and the father, he wasn't there. The anger, then she shuts it off, you know, then the anger again, and that one, then I moved out on my own. Well, before that happened, I got raped. The first one at 16. Excuse me. and that added on to it. And long story short, I went many years with that, and I did not take care of my mental health along with the other. And it's
right.
Very recently when that happened with that medical diagnosis, and I just realized, I didn't realize how angry I was because I wasn't expressing it. And, of course, dealing with life, you know, you're dealing with living in America, that, and then racism, that's what I'm talking about. Then you're dealing with
right.
other things, life, and then all that's compounded. And so I had to, you know, really, and I, you know, and it's a daily practice. And I'm just thankful that I woke up and started taking care of me. And, you know, I'm first in priority and everybody else is not. And in fact, I fought momentarily for the, with the sexual assault with a, well, going through a person from a rape crisis center here, because I had gotten triggered because I was getting sexually harassed somewhere else and it triggered me, and that didn't work out, mainly, well, because, you know, it just seemed like it was when she said it was going to take a time process, okay, and I get that, but, you know, my first day and I'm signing forms, and that really annoyed me. And, you know, can't you mail forms in the mail? But anyway, all that, main point is I am taking care of myself, and I'm not doing any therapy, so to speak, but I'm doing energy healing.
Okay, good for you.
And a couple of modalities that I use, well, probably three, and then, you know, chanting mantras, prayer. I do something physical, but I need to get more physical, but definitely I'm now focusing on my emotional, mental health. And in fact, I'm starting to write something that I'm going to publish in a way to help others, because I suffered too long in silence, and it's and of course when I did want to speak out about the rape, I was criticized. So it's like, okay.
So sorry that happened to you.
So anyway, long story short, thankfully I'm taking care of myself, and but yeah, the energy modalities, they are so, for me, they're really effective. and with all of it as well. So nothing against talk therapy. So once I find someone that, you know, can feel that I can trust, and that they're going to, you know, will give me that attention, their attention. And plus it was, you know, a matter of economics as well. So I'm listening, you know, to you, and I'm glad that you wrote this out, and you wrote your book, and you're speaking, and, you know, helping other guests. But yeah, it takes a multi-pronged approach, because you just can't do one thing, because everyone's different. And so I'm just thankful I'm taking care of me, and. Yeah. Anyway, thank you to the host, and thank you, Dr. Young.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing your story.
Right.
We have a third caller in queue. Caller three, could you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah. Yes, my name is, this is Tara Strength. I'm one of the hosts on this network. I'm really enjoying the show. I'm really enjoying, you're doing a great job, Mo. The doctor is outstanding. Her explanation, when she talked about how trauma is just, it's just a great approach. I mean, she's really mm-hmm. talking about what she feels work, and it's just so, so important to hear a therapist actually say that, you know, and say right. that on the air, the work that it takes to heal. And it's one of the toughest things for a lot of people to do, is first of all, to admit that even though their life is out of control, it's hard for them to admit it, and then be willing to actually do the work it's going to take to heal and move towards wholeness. So I was just really excited about hearing someone actually say that on the air and speak from her own experiences. So I just wanted to call in and support your show and just say that this is really helpful. And I'm
Thank
sure she's going to pick up some more clients from this.
We're both saying thank you, right? Like I'm Dr.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is a great show. Again, I'm one of the hosts. My show will be on in the month on the 15th. Of course, Know Your Rights with Tara Strength. But you guys are doing a great job, and it's a fabulous guest that you have here, Mo. So, Mo, thanks.
Thank you so much. Do we have a track next, Brother O?
Actually, no. I want you guys to continue this conversation. I think it's very important. The young lady called in from the great state of Ohio, Buckeye State. I want you guys to continue to talk, and I'll let you know when I have a track.
Okay, thank you. All right, some people have been dealing with trauma for many years, Dr. Finike. Is it too late? When is it too late to look for help?
Mm-hmm. So I am a firm believer in, I don't think it's ever too late. I think it's all in the person being open. You know, so there's a couple pieces there. One, the person has to be ready to heal, and a part of being ready to heal is choosing to heal. So I think that what happens a lot of times is that people think that, you know, yeah, you just wake up and it's like, yeah, so you did the work. Oh, wow, I couldn't do that, right? It's a choice mm-hmm. because it's not easy. It's nothing. It's not easy. Like no day is easy, especially when you've experienced something. And, you know, it's something that requires you to be committed to. And, you know, as I shared earlier, when I was just going through my own process, there were days where, you know, I didn't feel like, hey, I want to put this work in. You know, there were days that it was easier to just be in that stuck, miserable, unhappiness. You know, it was easier to be in that space because it didn't require me to do any work. You know, it was something that was there and it just happened and it just came. Doing the work, like I said, it's not easy. And so that's why you have someone like me, because it's kind of like, you know, you want to go to the gym, right? And you want to lose, let's say, 30 pounds. Now, mm-hmm. you can go in there, you can get on the treadmill, and you can run, or you can go in there and you can lift weights, right? You can totally do that, right? But to have a trainer, you know, doesn't it help to have that person that's trained specifically in teaching you and showing you how to lose this weight, you know, more effectively, you know, and yeah. give you some techniques, some things that you may not know of because it's not your area of expertise. And so that's exactly what a therapist, you know, is. That's what I am. I'm the guide. I've had the training. I have the experience. I've, you know, done the things. I know, you know, what has worked and versus what has not worked. I have that. So I'm a tool, you know, and so it's never too late. It's really just about, is the person willing to put the work in, and are they open to doing what it is that needs to be done for them to get to that place?
It's interesting you said they have to be open. I remember sharing a trauma that I had with a family member, and they said, oh, that happened to me. You should just get over it. So mm-hmm. I I think you have to be, that's really important that you have to be open.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times that can be, you know, the response, especially oftentimes in Black and brown communities. You know, just pray about it, or, you know, just get over it, or, you know, just let time will heal it. And those are, you know, huge misnomers in the Black community, Black and brown community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that feeds into the stigmas around getting help when we need help. And so, you know, let me just try to do it on my own. And, you know, that whole, you know, Black superwoman and Black Superman syndrome, you know, I'll just do it on my own. Well, you know, there are people that have been trained to help you do this. So it may be a good idea if you, you know, seek out one or two of those people and see if they can help you, you know, through the process. So it happens quite often. I hear it a lot.
Right now we have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
Rolling, I know you got soul. One, two, three, hit it. You got it, you got it, you got it, you got it. I know you got soul. Hey, if you think you wouldn't be in here, I know you got soul. If you think you wouldn't be in here, I know you got soul.
See ya.
Thank you so much for that track, Brother O. We have a fourth caller. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, it's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a strong mic to step to. What's going on? I'm sorry, look, you have to blame Hall of Fame 2 times for that. He really, really took me back with James Brown, and I ended up with Rakim Allah, so I'm sorry. But anyway, hey, special honors to your special guest. Thank you so much for taking time to come out and do what you do. I mean, my heart really goes out, and that's on a professional level, so trust me. I really, really appreciate all that you're doing and being there for the people who've been traumatized. I want to speak on family, and it never ceases to amaze me how far we fail. I'm talking about us as a people, how far we fail, because some of us, and I was raised over 4 generations with you not getting away with that. And matter of fact, as a International Hall of Fame unanimously enshrined broadcaster, one of the advancements I did was called Fear the Fathers, not to take anything away from the mothers. And we have to reinstill that fear that you're not getting away with that. And I got blood children that I'm responsible for. And so as long as I'm here, I raised them. I got a son and a daughter. That anyone, I don't care who they is, don't worry about no afterlife. Don't worry about the repercussions and all of that. Let daddy handle that. And anyone knows me or think they know me or want to try it, you'll read about it in the news. But anyway, we have to get back to strong values like that. How dare anyone, especially a family member, do something so distasteful and disgraceful, especially, you know, normally what happens with females in the family, but lo and behold, it does happen with certain males in the family, too. We have to take control of that, y'all. And we have been really relaxed. You know, we have been really, really laxed on that for such a long time. And allowing not just us, but other people to get away with anything. And I have always said an enemy is an enemy, especially when it comes to doing something so distasteful, like taking something from a person that they're not ready to give. Enough is enough, okay?
Right.
Anyway, I'm the International Hall of Fame unanimously broadcaster. Name of my show is We Will Aware You. I got a show coming up with a very special honored guest, March 10th, okay? And I'll put it on pause and listen to the rest of the show. Thank you.
We're running out of time right now, Dr. Finneke, but I want to have your final thoughts on, you mentioned something that I want to make sure our listeners really get, and that is Reiki. How does that help heal the effect of trauma in your practice? If you could expand on that as a final thought, mm-hmm. I'd appreciate it.
Sure, no worries. So one of the callers earlier, she called and she was discussing how she uses energy work. You know, in her healing. And so Reiki is exactly that. Reiki is an energy healing technique that originated in Japan. And so I am trained as a master Reiki practitioner. And so it works with, you know, tapping into and clearing your energy points along your body, which are referred to as chakras. And so your chakras are how you receive and how you communicate with the with energy or spiritual or spirit, rather. I'll just say that, with spirit and how you also receive. And so in using Reiki, what I'm doing, and it helps me to really tap into that person's energy but also their spirit, just to, you know, I communicate with them on that level as opposed to always trying to communicate with someone on a mental level or a physical level. And so I'm able to cut through, like, you know, a lot of the the layers, a lot of the hiding, a lot of the fears, a lot of the, hey, I'm not comfortable, you know, sharing this. But by doing Reiki, I'm able to kind of, you know, cut through some of that and get right to what it is that the person wants to work on, because the healing goes where the healing needs to go. It doesn't necessarily go where the person says they want it to go. It goes where it needs to go. So that's how I use it. And like I said, it's been very effective in me working with the women that I have worked with.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That is so important. I think that Tara Strength even mentioned that that's how he was looking at it. There are so few practitioners out there that use Reiki in their practice. I just wanted to highlight that, because that is so important. I found energy work to be very important to me in my healing as well. And now we go to Ngozi time.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Dr. Young for calling in tonight. And a personal friend of mine called into a show tonight, and he's world-renowned, Dr. Young and Mo Garman. And he wants to send a shout-out to the network as well as what you're doing tonight, Mo Garman. Outstanding performance when it comes down to life experiences. And we must do better in our own families to change the world. Many different things are going on. We have to handle our own house experience before we get a chance to even talk about the world. And that special friend is Scott Pelley. That's right, guys. Since 2013, Scott Pelley used to host the CBS Evening News, and now he's the anchor of 60 Minutes. Called in tonight for this show. How about that, Mo Garman?
That's awesome.
So thank you, Scott. And I really, really love you. And I know you're a busy man. He called in, and he had to get off the phone, at 10:25. So I want to thank him for taking the time out of his busy schedule at CBS Paramount to call into, a show and a network like WBNN. And I want to thank Dr. Young tonight, as well as Mo Garman. And, of course, we're off, tomorrow night, because I get a little rest. I want to thank all the folks that counted in that robbery to be able to join us tonight here at WBNN. And I love it. And I love it. WBNN is advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're Ngozi Time and at Twitter and Instagram, also Pinterest. And on Facebook at Ola Dunn and Malay Ngozi. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? oledele.ngozi@my.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, O.M. Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all of our listeners at Armed Force Radio Network. Join us and in for Sunday's program with Sonya Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year at WBNN for the class of 2021. Her name is our Deputy Commissioner, Chinchilla J, and News Forum at WBNN, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Also, you can listen to us, like our doctor did, at www.blogtalkradio.com. And let's end our programming tonight with Mo Garman. You have 2 minutes and 10 seconds left to go in the program.
I just want to say thank you all for listening tonight. It's been a fantastic show. And Dr. Sneke, can you please share your contact information so that our listeners can contact you if they desire?
Sure. So the two best ways to reach out to me are through my website, drfanike.com. That's D-R-F as in Frank, A-N-I-K-E.com, or on Instagram at drfanike. Actually, across all the platforms, I am Dr. Fanike. So that's Instagram, Facebook, Clubhouse, LinkedIn, and now TikTok at Dr. Fanike.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great evening, everyone.
Bye.